You're fine right now. There's no echo. Usually
whoever's running the app has the echo.
No, I think it's just because he's traveling. He doesn't have his home set up. That's causing the issues. Yeah, Bucky said he would do this for free, Wags.
I don't think so, man. I don't even, like, I don't think, like, not a tip of fame, not like any type of check. I don't think I would do it.
No amount of money in the world would get you to do this?
Nah, man.
Really?
Nah.
What about, like,
optics for everything? In the, like, the kids coming out of the dress, like, that's just creepy.
You're acting. It's a role in a play.
Yeah, nah, I'm all right.
Okay.
I guess I'm just not that progressive.
I don't. That any better, guys?
Yes.
A little bit. Yeah, actually. Yeah.
I don't think there's anything progressive about taking $100,000 to dress up like this.
No, it was tongue in cheek, buddy.
I know, but nope.
How long do you have to be out there to do that? Is this the extent of it? Maybe 2 minutes?
Yeah, this whole clip is 10 seconds. I think Fozzie was probably on stage for a little longer than that, but I can't imagine it's more than 1 or 2 minutes.
That's like a big deal to get to do that in Austin, though, isn't it? That they bring in like celebrities and so forth to do that.
Yes, that's what they say. So it's an honor for this. Oh. Okay, I'm going to remove myself. Maybe.
Yeah, now you got the. Now you have the echo, buddy.
Maybe so. Me being on is causing the echo. So let's
see. Rod,
yeah, I got you. How do I sound? Am I good?
We got an echo.
Damn, this worked at 7 o'clock this morning.
It's all good, man.
But of course, I didn't have you guys on, so that's the other part.
I think it's better. I'm hearing an echo coming out from your end, so your outsource has 2 feet.
I think it's my speaker. I think it's my speaker that's going on, but I have to have some sort of speaker on to be able to hear you.
Your outsource has 2 feet, so kill the outsource to your speaker and then just have it coming through your headset.
No echo on you.
Let's roll.
How's that? Is that better?
Yep,
we're good. Where you want to go, man? Perfect, perfect. How you been, buddy?
You got to turn the mic down.
Okay, there we go. All right, that better?
A little bit.
Okay.
Now there's the echo. Jesus Christ.
I gotta come back. It's as bad as it was at the start, double R.
I don't know what you want to talk about. Where do you want to get into?
I don't know. No. We got Lou Gehrig joining us today. The luckiest man.
Come back, double R. Make sure that you're down just a little bit. You came in a little bit too hot and heavy there. So.
Yeah, I don't know what is causing that. Double R broadcasting from, what do we think, the Best Western, the Motel 6, the Super 8? Where do we think he is today?
He's going to have to talk to his other people and put him up in a better spot or something. So.
Yeah, maybe.
I watched some Texas hoops last night, and I watched the Capitals get shellacked. Gustafson last night just absolutely lights out on his head in the pipes for a team that was struggling inside of the, or just looking for their starting goaltender. It looks like they figured it out. The Wild were absolutely on fire last night, blanking the, I guess you could say, surging Caps. They were kind of, they started out of the gate pretty hot, then they went into some valleys, man, peaks and valleys, and now they're, you know, they were surging for the road win, and now they're kind of stumbling a little bit. So a 5-0 outing, that's never a good thing. So we'll see how it works.
Yeah, I don't have too many Capitals hot takes for the people right now, but
it's all on Logan Thompson. That's they're playing as good as he's allowing it. So
yeah, I mean, I know you guys are in a playoff spot right now in the Eastern Conference, so.
It ain't, I don't think it's going to stick, but let's go on house money. So
yeah, you're trying to catch up to the Dallas Stars. That's okay. Everybody else besides Colorado is right now. So right. It's all right. Get there. A lot of season left to be played, you know.
Last non-conference game last night.
Second to last.
Second. Thank you. Penultimate. Thank you.
Yeah. They've got your guys from Maryland on Monday.
Did you see Kansas versus Towson?
I did.
I was going to ask you if you knew where Towson was at.
The Towson Tigers?
I think it's 3-1 ratio.
Of
3-1 ratio, girl to guy ratio.
Whoa, hang on.
Yeah. Hold on. 20 second now. Let's pump the brakes. Let's make sure you're clearing corners before you go into the room. All right. You got a lot of STDs at that school too, buddy.
All right. Well, that's a trade I'm willing to make.
I guess that's the hypothetical for you. Would you go to a school with a 3-to-1 girl to guy ratio, but the guarantee is that you're probably going to get with chlamydia?
No, not good. 3-to-1. I mean, it depends on what the girls look like. Like I could be at a place with a 3-to-1 ratio and the girls are all ugly. So I don't want any part of that.
Well, I think very true. I mean, I didn't even take that into,
I assume Towson is in Maryland. Cause you know,
it's in Baltimore. So it's like, so say, I'm trying to compare it to like a place here. I guess the college would be Tarleton. Right. Like it's kind of similar to Tarleton, right? It's a very small school. David Meggett, I don't know if you are familiar with any stats of David Meggett, but David Meggett back in the 90s, 80s, New York Giants player, he played at Towson. But other than that, they don't really have that many other things that are known for, except for STDs and that it's a 3-to-1 girl to guy ratio.
I love that. I love that. That's what they're known for right there.
So, or at least that's what the people back home know it for. Like that's their one selling point. That's their pitching point to get people on campus.
3-to-1 girl to guy ratio. Yeah. I mean, that's a great pitch right there.
Right. But I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, your scenario kind of comes in play here. Like they're probably not all that great looking if it's 3-to-1 girl to guy ratio.
Right? Well, that's the thing. Like it's, you know, I went to the University of Texas, as did you, right? It's a massive institution with more than 50,000 students on campus every year. So even though it's not a 3-to-1 ratio like that, it's probably close to 50-50.
We're talking quality.
Well, also quantity. You're talking quantity to just overall. There are going to be more attractive women.
On the campus, yes.
Yeah, there's probably more women overall at the University of Texas than there are at Townsend. And yeah, then you get to the quality point too, where it's like, look, I've never been to Baltimore.
I'm telling you right now, you're good, bud. You're all right.
I spent very little time in the entire state of Maryland. I went to a Maryland football game one year when I saw CJ Spiller at Clemson play at Maryland. So it's a while ago. Campus looked nice, but I don't really remember anything else about
Were you at Bird Stadium?
I was at Bird. Oh, okay. Pretty cool. I'm with my old man. We were like on a DC trip. It was like a weekend and we're like, who's in town? Which college football team can we go watch? And Maryland was playing Clemson. And we like got to Bird. We didn't have tickets. We got there like right before kickoff.
Scalpers.
And we're just chopping it up with a security guard working at the gate. And we asked him, I was like, hey, what do we do for tickets? And he's like, we're from Texas. You know, what do you do for tickets? He's like, where are y'all from? What part of Texas? We're like Dallas. And I don't know, double R. What could possibly be causing that?
He's got a double feed, right? So that's coming through his speaker. We're hearing his speaker. His speakers are way too loud. So he's got to turn his speaker sound down.
I bet he's done that. Like, I don't know. Keep trying stuff, double R. Hopefully it works today because I'm making some rounds today, delivering some gifts to our clients. So if you're one of our clients, go be on the lookout.
Hanukkah Harry's coming around.
Harry coming to town. Santa BK making his way. That's what we're all about. Anyways, Bird Stadium, as I finish that story, he's like, where are you from? We're like, Dallas. He's like, you guys Cowboys fans? We're like, yeah. And he literally is like, I got two tickets for it. He gives us 50-yard line seats.
What?
Like, we're basically sitting two rows in front of the governor of the state of Maryland. We're around, like, all the big money donors for the school. It was just the luckiest thing ever. Literally just for being a Cowboys fan in Commanders at the time.
Right, Commanders territory.
It was great. So it was a cool experience. But that's the end of my Bird Stadium story. And I'd go to Towson for a visit. I wouldn't go there for school.
Probably the best Bird Stadium story that I ever had, right, was my dad. I don't get to hang out too much with my real dad, but we were checking out the Maryland – Florida State was in town and we were checking out the Florida State and Miami or Florida State, Maryland scene. And this guy, and of course you got to sneak you got to wear like loose boots. And if this is a time where they don't allow you, of course, they don't allow you to bring hard booze in, right? And everybody's sneaking pints into their boots, right? To get in. So you can pour it into your Coke and have the rum, right? My dad is absolutely lathered up, right? And we sit on the visitor side underneath the awning. So there's some, I guess there's some high end visitors in this section that are very dedicated to the Florida State Seminoles. And there's this guy just spouting off with the mouth. And he looks up at my dad. My dad's probably 20 to 25 rows up. He's chomping at the bit. And my dad is just loaded. And my dad stands up finally. He goes, buddy, I've been waiting for an asshole like you for 10 years to come around here. In all complete, in just like one fluid motion, my dad gets like, and my dad's a large, my dad looks like Ralph Regan. My dad looks like Ralph Regan, right? Big, or not as big now, but he used to be back then. Regan's Legion starts walking down the damn aisle here, and just in one foul swoop with stride and foot, and the right coming to connect, knocked the guy down about three or four rows. The dude didn't even get up. My dad didn't even wait a second, turned right back around, came up, took another drink from his pint, and that was it.
No way.
I've been waiting for an asshole like you for 10 years, man. Nobody said nothing. Nobody made a scene. No respective team. Security didn't come. Once the guy got back up, he just got right back in his row, and that was it.
God, that is awesome. Didn't he get in trouble?
No, nobody. That's what I'm saying. No security was called. No ushers came. It was wild.
Oh, man. Okay, here's what we're going to try. I'm gonna remove Wags. I'm going to remove you for a second here.
Okay.
See if this does anything. Still echo? Okay. Yep. Still echo.
Move me. Double echo in
there. No. Talk about that.
Yeah. How we doing, buddy?
Oh, my God. I'm doing great. BK, I love you. Don't come back. I still hear a little bit of an echo, but it's not bad. It's manageable. We can do it.
Yeah.
People on YouTube aren't hearing that much of an echo. I think the source came from where you had, or maybe something's too close to it. Maybe you're picking up on something. Usually sometimes I got to put my other computer over on the other side.
There's no telling what's in here because like when I test this before, like when I'm on the road, all I can do is record. It's like, so like recording this morning, everything was totally fine.
All right. Well, you going out is fine. So it's coming from your end, right? So when we hear you have a double, source audio, right?
Yeah.
A double outsource.
So. Yeah. All the system sounds, everything is turned off.
Well, good. It's manageable. We're going to have a conversation. We're going to catch up. We're going to find out what's going on in Double R's life, buddy.
Yeah. Besides echo, you know?
Yeah. There's a secret mic in there.
There's something going on.
Somebody's recording you, buddy. Anyway, so how's road life with Double R?
There's a old school handset phone sitting here. I bet it's tapped.
Could be. How's road life, man? What's up?
It's cold up here, dude. It's not cold this morning. When I got here on Sunday. No, when did I get here? Sunday, 7 degrees.
Get the hell out of here, man.
7 degrees. I'm like,
a little bit of rain in the forecast on your way home. Make sure you're going a little bit slow on your way back to it, buddy. But what do you want to get to first, dude?
I was actually going to call you on Sunday to get your thoughts because I wouldn't be able to get these from you on Monday. Philip Rivers, dude. I tell you, the old man.
Look, they didn't get the dub, but they got pretty damn close, right? All right. I guess they got into a fighter's chance, right? A puncher's chance. But just my first take from Phil Rivers, he's out of shape, of course, right? It's not going to look great when you're playing for 5 years, right? Or you don't play for 5 years and you come back and, you know, all of a sudden you just got to do some type of makeshift type of play to get some type of win for the Indianapolis Colts. The state of quarterback play in the NFL must be absolute drastic if they can't find anyone else to kind of come in and take over the reins. You got to go to a guy that's kind of been knocked out for 5 years or just not played for 5 years. Credit to Phil. He's able to come in there, you know, toss the touchdown. You know, only one interception is probably the bigger stat for me out of that game just because of how rusty he would have been. Or hell, just not even going into a system with a full week, right? You're elevated from the practice squad midway through the week, and like how many reps did you get from the practice squad, honestly, right? Now it's he probably went on to the practice squad just to get some looks at a first team defense, right? Just to get up back up to speed a little bit. But ultimately, I think it looks like it's manageable from what we saw on Sunday. I just don't know how viable it is going into the future, right? This is clearly a make stop emergency, like holy shit, what do we do, right? Knee jerk and reaction type of deal. But ultimately, like Phil Rivers, man, being able to come off of a five year hiatus and go out there and throw with the big boys. I think if you weren't proving to yourself that you're, you know, Hall of Fame status, maybe, you know, this is going to kind of open the eyes of not open the eyes, but maybe kind of raise the eyebrows. If you didn't have enough in your bank or in your tank to be able to do it and makes people convinced earlier, maybe, you know, the thought of you coming off of the bench for 5 years in a row and being able to perform like this in a competitive level, right? I mean, this is a team that's also going to go to the playoff that they were talking or that they were playing against. I don't know. That's my thoughts on Phil Rivers, everybody. Great little Sunday show, but ultimately the Colts are doomed if they got to go forward with it or think they're going to survive with it.
And, you know, because I was listening to the game, and as I was driving, I had a little bit of a hunch that came to me with this, to where the whole thing, like we're talking about, you know, they pulled him off the couch and he comes in and, you know, whatever the case may be. I bet because, you know, we heard the backstory where he's close to the Irsay family and so forth and so on. And I bet you at some point, because we knew that Richardson wasn't going to be the quarterback.
You know, everybody, I don't know why you didn't know that, but go ahead.
And I bet you somebody got in his ear at some point, maybe the midway part around the season, and said, look, if this doesn't work out, if something happens to Daniel Jones, do you think you could do this? Because he, not that he came out and he looked, you know, in his prime.
He looked like he was in throwing shape, right? Now, I don't know if he's just throwing the ball around the yard to all of his kids or having them all run routes or shit like that. But it did look like his arm was in throwing shape, and it looked like it was, I don't know, or how, I guess, honestly, we'd find out what it would be or how his arm would going to be like after the game, right? That's kind of when it would turn to mush and turn to jello, if you're taking it from that approach. Steven Gouveia, they should have brought Sam back. Well, Sam's been elevated. Sam's third-string quarterback to the Denver Broncos right now. So at the beginning of the year, Sam was on the practice squad. But I think, you know, Sam having the good foresight there, like, hey, man, you know, Denver is a team that's going to competing. You know, you got Sean Payton there, a pretty savvy, you know, quarterback guru. If things happen with Bo Nix, and of course, who the hell is backing up Bo Nix, as a matter of fact? I don't even know who Bo Nix is backup. I know the third string is Ellinger, but I don't know the backup for Denver. But anyways, like if anything happens to where it just goes completely haywire, kind of like what happened with Indianapolis, then Sam Ellinger is primed to take over a team that is competing for a championship right here.
And Wags, I heard multiple times leading up to that Ellinger didn't want to go back, that he was very happy in that situation with the tutelage.
Well, and that's why he had a chance to not be on the practice squad from the Colts, right? Like he was going to be either second string or third string on the Colts roster, but wanted to be, like, elected to go the practice route with the Broncos because that's where he felt the organization. I guess he just felt the Broncos organization was in a better spot than Indianapolis, or maybe better ran than Indianapolis. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I heard that a lot of it was, you know, for the tutelage, and that he really felt that he was getting, I mean, the work that he was getting and kind of the experience in that system, that he was very happy with that and didn't want to go. And you have to applaud that. But like you're saying, I mean, the thing about it is you're obviously going to be, you're playing for a better organization. You're playing in a better scenario. But I think with this Rivers thing, I think, you know, he is a football coach. He is a football coach, and you've been at those high school practices. So those coaches, for the most part, are pretty active. They're out there running plays.
Usually the coach is thrown to the defense, right? Thrown to the first team defense or running. Sometimes, you know, they'll take over for the second string quarterback. And, you know, if the plays that the defense need to get out there that the scouting team isn't running right, head coach will get out there and run the shit. So.
There are times that I've been at high school practices and, you know, maybe it's a team that's not one of the best teams in a district or whatever. Right. And I'm like, you know, if the team worked as hard as the coach is doing in practice, they might be better because, you know, the coach is out there running sprints or out there running routes or whatever. But
what coach are you talking about? Anthony Wood? What are you talking about?
But, you know, the other part of that, where what I was really curious to see was how was he going to take a hit? You know, because it's like the arm, all that's still going to work.
I actually wasn't worried about that because of how big he was. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying
he's
to make
a big old boy. He's a big old boy.
Phil Rivers is healthy, all right? Phil Rivers is a healthy man right now.
Well, and you said something a while ago that's kind of funny where you said, you know, out there, the dude's got a whole football team at home. So he can field, you know, hell, he can have the wife as I guess we could say the wife as the tight end for crying out loud. Yeah, exactly.
Take the wife to center. Let's get up underneath gun there.
There it is. Yeah, you're the center. But look, I thought it was really cool to see him. Like you said, the whole thing with the Hall of Fame thing, shit, put him in today.
I don't even think he cares, honestly. Like, I'm sure he wants to get into the Hall, but I get what I'm hitting on is I don't think he cares that it got reset. You know what I mean? Like the 5 years gets reset when you take a snap or you get elevated to the, you know, to the actual first string squad or the actual team. I don't think for Phil Rivers gives two shits. He knows he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, right? Like, if I don't, that's a good question though, because Eli's got hardware. Both came in the same class, right? Matter of fact, you know, the draft debacle there where Phil Rivers and Eli were kind of traded for each other after being drafted. Is Phil Rivers a Hall of Fame quarterback?
I think he doesn't have a championship unless he gets one this year. But
he's got better stats than the Eli, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the other part about it that I heard somebody mention this again on the drive on Sunday, to where it's like the whole thing with Phillip Rivers in the Hall of Fame. So think about this. So if his Hall of Fame clock is going to reset, now he has to wait another 5 years. Look who's eligible right now and who's going to become eligible. It may be easier for him
better
to get in
the Hall of Fame. Yeah, he might have
6 years later.
Right.
So that was, and I heard that. And I'm like, man, that makes a lot of, not that that factors into anything at all, but I mean, the dude looks like to me, he can finish out the season. I mean, are they going to win a lot of games? I don't know. That's a tight ass AFC South race that they're now, you know, behind in, but yeah, I mean, I really wasn't surprised. I didn't think that he was going to come out and light the world on fire, but shit, they almost won that game. And that's another one of those quality losses, I guess you could say, Wag.
So Eli Manning's stats, right, through 236 games, he has a record of, he's 500, he is Mr. 500, 117 and 117, completion percentage of 60.3, yardage 57,023, touchdowns 366 to damn, that's a bad one. 244 interceptions. So the TD interception ratio isn't exactly the greatest. Now to Phillip Rivers, all right? And Phillip Rivers clearly has the better stats, in my opinion. Phillip Rivers, out of 245 games, 134 wins to 107 losses. Okay? That takes the cake right there. 64.9% completion, all right? 63,560 yards, 422 touchdowns to 210 interceptions, 2-to-1 ratio. They threw the ball a lot. I think if you're going to put Eli Manning in, I think Phil Rivers has to be in, right? I feel like that's kind of a no-brainer, right? If you're going off the precedent of Eli getting in, Mr. 500, then just, I mean, I get it. He's got two Super Bowl MVPs, understandably, right? Like, in both MVPs, both Super Bowls, he beat the best of the best, which are the Patriots, all right? So that is the one tipping point for Eli. But I think if you're giving Eli the nod, Phillip Rivers has to have the nod as well.
And that's where I've always thought you can't leave Eli out, just for that reason right there, the two Super Bowls. That's really hard to – And the way that they did it, like you talked about, and some of those runs, you know, where the Giants were damn near down and out, you know, one of those times, and they came in and won the Super Bowl. But thinking about with Phillip Rivers, I mean, he played on some really good, those San Diego teams were really good. Really, really good. Rivers?
Didn't he have Tomlinson the 1 year? Or was that Drew Brees to where they lost to the Patriots? They went to the AFC Championship and lost to the Patriots. It was like Tomlinson's year where he had like 35 touchdowns or some shit like that.
Yeah, there were a couple of times where San Diego was like, okay, they're going to be that team to win the AFC, but then they just couldn't get over the hump. We see right now with Buffalo. At one point, they were very much like Buffalo, yeah, where it's like they're right there. They're right there, but they just and then they ran their course.
Long tight end play. I remember Keenan Allen and Phillip Rivers connecting a lot, though.
Yeah. Well, he had Antonio Gates, didn't he?
Yeah, for a long time.
Yeah. And then, like you said, that they could run the ball. I mean, their defense was pretty stout. They just couldn't get over the hump. I do compare a lot of those San Diego to Buffalo now, but because it's like, okay, it's there. This is their time. Here is the window. You know, the Chiefs were down this year. Here's Buffalo's chance. And here they are, you know, struggling, although they didn't. I thought they were down and out the other day, dude. And that was a hell of a game right there. But
producer CB chimes in. Yes, I think the 2007 LT and Rivers were hurt in the AFC Championship, but LT got hurt, didn't play while Rivers played hurt.
Yeah, he had like a torn. His knee was all.
Yeah, I remember LT going. I don't know if LT finished, but I remember him playing in the game because he was bitched. He was upset about. Something at the I forget what went down at the end of the somebody didn't shake hands or some shit at the end of the game or whatever, and he got really pissed or something like that.
The way that game started for the Colts the other day, I mean, they did, and it helps when you have the running back that you have there. When we talk about lean on the running game, and you've got that dude in the backfield, because that's exactly what they did. They came out and they just pound, pound, pound. Even Steve Sarkisian, when the run wasn't working, they continued to try to run the ball until it came back around. And then he got comfortable. Then he got comfortable, and I think he got back adjusted to the speed of the game. But that's just a savvy veteran right there. When you have a resume like that, dude, you know that it's going
to
come.
I would like to see how he feels this week. All right. I would have liked to have heard from Phil Rivers. So I guess we should have got some sounder based on, you know, the bumps and bruises that he took on Sunday and that, you know, how Monday felt or whatever. But I would like to see how he's going to move around or what his ability is going to be like, his mobility is going to be like this Sunday when they play. So,
and the thing about it is too, to me, where it's even more impressive for him was the fact that you came out and you took that defense. That's a damn good defense across the way there. So I think that's even more impressive. That's a better defense.
To only throw one interception against Seattle. Like that's in Seattle too. Like that's a pretty tough place to play and a pretty, you know, hellacious defense to go up against. And yeah, you're right, man. Decent again, pedestrian or mediocre performance, if you want to call it that, you know, 1-1, but, and I don't even think he had 200 yards of passing, but let me pull it up. That was
like the folks that were saying, you know, oh, I'm worried that he's
going to. Yeah, he only had 120 yards of pass, but it's kind of pedestrian, right? But still, one touchdown, one interception. To only throw one interception after 5 years of not playing ball, I think you're right.
Where they were saying, you know, he's going to get carted out of the game. I'm like, no, he's not stupid. He's not going to put himself in a position where they're going to have to put this dude in a wheelchair and wheel his ass out of the stadium. But it was cool to watch. But that just fits in line with this season because it's shit like that we've seen with teams being so susceptible. And here we go. This was when yours will be the starter for the Miami Dolphins. So boom. There you go.
Hey man, you never know when your opportunity is going to come to you, right? You're only one play away. Didn't they always say that? You're only one play away from getting that starting rep.
And I think this is an opportunity there for Quinn. I mean, I know that Tua Tagovailoa is owed a lot of money, and you're going to have to figure out what you're going to do with all of that. But that obviously isn't working. One of the guys that's here with me on this work trip, he's a Dolphins fan, and he's like, this system is not working. He doesn't like the coach. He doesn't like it, none of it. So I think this is what you do. You're out of playoff. You're out of playoff contention right now. Go figure out what you have and figure out what's going to be the next move.
Address the future. You want to get into a little bit of college basketball and a little, and well, I guess we should first talk about our sponsors and our friends all around this place, right?
Right.
Get into college basketball if you want to do that for a little bit. First and foremost, let's tell you about our friends at Hecht Law Firm. He is Ryan Hurricane Hecht, your personal injury attorney right here in our Fairburg of Austin, Texas. Sporting and rocking that burnt orange suit. Call him up and ask him about it. Tell him Wags told you to ask him about that burnt orange suit. But yeah, Ryan Hurricane Hecht, your personal go-to injury attorney right here in our Fairburg of Austin, Texas. He's so proud that he wears that burnt orange suit. Longhorn fighting for fellow Texans. He's not just a lawyer, though. He's a Longhorn through and through, and he brings the same fire and pride to the courtroom. Injured in a car accident or you got any type of personal injury at all, give our guy Ryan a call. He knows what you're going through, and he's going to fight like hell to make it right. He's Austin-based, Texas, proud, supporting local sports, local businesses, local families. Don't let insurance companies push you around. Let him blow the case wide open. Give him a call today, 512-938-8929. Again, 512-938-8929. Email Ryan at hechtlawfirm.com. That email is Ryan at hechtlawfirm.com, H-E-C-H-T, lawfirm.com. Tell him the crew from TSU sent you.
Wags, I might have to get on the Twitter machine later when all of Quinn's detractors from his time here are saying how great he is at Miami, going to be the great quarterback for the Dolphins. I might have to say, how soon you forget. You didn't like him here. Might have to call some people out. But Covert BK, if you're looking for that new or pre-owned car, truck, or SUV, there's one place to go, friends, and it's our friends at Covert BK.
You see Covert everywhere. It's that personal level of just feeling like it's a personal family interaction.
The customer service, it's impeccable. It's unlike anything I've ever experienced buying a car.
Over the 30 years that I've been buying cars from them, I feel like I know them and they know me.
Covert's done an amazing job of making me feel valued. If you purchase a vehicle and you want to feel like you're part of a family, join the Covert family.
Come and experience it for yourself.
Covert, born and raised in Austin.
That's right. Nobody beats a Covert deal. Not now, not ever. Check them out today online at covertbcave.com. Also ready to tell you about my man, Mike McCall, and the great folks at McCall Custom Homes. You're looking for that indoor or outdoor home renovation. You're looking for a new home, whatever you're looking for. If it's construction-based or something, improving your property, you need to call Mike McCall and McCall Custom Homes. And the time to do it is right now. During this holiday time period, this best time of the year, free estimates for TSU listeners. But you have to be sure and mention Texas Sports Unfiltered. 512-633-9580. Get that call or text into our man, Mike. And you're going to talk to Mike. You're not going to talk to anybody else. And get that reality going for you. Looking to do something in your kitchen, your living space. You've got extra bedrooms now that, like I've said, that's going to be the next projects at our house. Let's change the look up of those things and kind of make the house a little modern is what we're looking to do there. We're going to call 512-633-9580 right out of the box. McCall Custom Homes, ATX.com. For over 40 years, a father-son team in Central Texas doing it the right way, and they're ready to take care of you as well. Check them out at McCallCustomHomesATX.com, 512-633-9580. Like they say, we build value into your home. Christmas time, next week, guys. Next week, I was looking at my calendar, talking about something. I'm supposed to be doing something next Wednesday, and I'm like, holy smoke, that's Christmas Eve. I hope your house or your commercial space is holiday ready. If it's not, you still have time to call our friends at Humbug Holiday Lighting, a full-service holiday lighting company specializing in custom design, installation, maintenance. Holiday season's done. They come, they take it down, they store it. They store it for you. Next year when you get into the holiday season again, you get back in touch with them. They come back and they put it back up and they take care of it for you. It's custom holiday lighting, guys. It's the installation is professional. You don't have cords and wires everywhere. It's commercial grade LED lighting. It looks amazing. I'm going to be getting home tonight. It's going to be dark when I get home, and I'm going to roll up in front of my house, and there is going to be my great candy cane display sitting there at my house. Check them out online at humbuglights.com, 833-4-HUMBUG, 512-222-1820 is the text. Also, be sure and use that promo code. I think it's gone, but I think it's expired. try TSU20. You never know. You never know. Humbug Holiday Lighting. Hey, guys, just like they say, all the magic without the hassle. It is Humbug Holiday Lighting. Check them out today and be sure that you mention that you heard about them right here on Texas Sports Unfiltered. And also, Tom McKay, AV Consultations. The holidays are upon us. Let's get in the holiday spirit.
Hi, this is Tom McKay, owner of Audiovisual Consultations, and all of us at Audiovisual would like to wish you and your family a happy holiday season. This time of year can get a little hectic, so we want to remind you to relax, enjoy the season with your family and friends, and give us a call at 512-255-8678 for all of your home entertainment needs. This is my favorite time of the year. I love the holidays, the music, the decorations, the presents, the whole darn thing. So this year I'm asking all you listeners to help make this a special holiday for everyone. Smiles are contagious and free, so let's give them away like the government gives away your money. Let's high-five strangers on the street, hold the door for people behind us, tip your servers more than they've ever been tipped before. Give to a charity, or hell, give to a bunch of charities. If someone does a good job, tell them they did a good job. Pat someone on the butt. Sing in public places just because it feels good. And as always, hug your kids until they beg you to stop. Watch some games with your friends and make love to your wife or your husband. I know there's some women listening too. You can still give us a call at 512-255-8678 if you'd like to get some cool electronics, but more importantly, have a great holiday season and a fucking awesome next year.
Absolutely. Hit up Audiovisual Consultations, 255-8678. Absolutely. Double R, I think I just figured out. You have an internal microphone in your computer that's picking all that up.
That's actually what I'm using right now. That's why I'm muting, because what it's doing, it's picking up the volume, but I have to have the volume up to be able to hear you. Gotcha. All right. So anyway, that's why I'm muting. But
all right. So do you have your headset still connected?
I took all that down.
Right. So if you have any other in source. Yeah, if you have any other in sources, that's the stuff that needs to get killed. Because that's why we're getting two audios. I kind of figured it out while we're hearing that commercial.
All right.
Yeah. Where are you going to go first, Migo?
Let's talk college basketball. Yeah.
I don't know if that's the type of outing that we're going to get night in and night out, but when you can come out and start hitting from the perimeter like that and feel good, you know, having your, I guess, your three-point assassins start to knock it down, that's great. Also, battling in the paint, and when you can win the margin of rebounds, you know, by 20 rebounds or so, excuse me, usually that ends up in a very great night and victorious performance for you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that, and again, you take into consideration that the opponent. So yeah, you know, that's that, my question is,
what do you know about LeMay?
I don't even know where that is. Where is that LeMay?
Not LeMay. I guess LeMoyne, but.
When you have trouble pronouncing a school's name, that pretty much tells you, what do I know about them? Not a damn thing. Honestly, I never heard of them till last night.
I knew they're first in the NEC. I know that.
Yeah. Well, my question, where's the support for this Texas basketball team? You know, this is a new regime here. You play in a beautiful building. In the words of Blazing Saddles, where are the white women at? The white men? The Hispanics, the blacks, where are they? Nobody there.
I think people are just reluctant to buy in still, right? Just because it's the new team. You mentioned support, and absolutely, in the inaugural season, like, that's when the support should be the strongest. When you're building something, right, that's the support. And when you've arrived and you have all your fandom and all your supporters are already there, that's called, you know, just celebration. Of your support. Like, support is happening when you're on the come up, not when you're actually there, not when you've made it. All right. That's just called the celebration. Right. So yeah, I'm kind of with you. It sucks. The mood's been empty, right? The mood has not been filled up. It's been a, you know, kind of like a, when you'd go to the mood earlier and you'd, or a couple of years ago with the shitty audio adjustments, and you just have like, you try and go see a concert there, and you'd look around halfway through the venue or halfway through the performance, and they'd bring the lights up a little bit, and it's just gone, just empty, just like, where the hell's everybody at, man? That's kind of what it's given me vibes of, you know, the past couple of weeks, how it was the past couple of years.
I think the great example is the women.
Jake brings up a good point too. You know, Winnebago as well. So.
I think a great the women's program, I think, is a great example. Remember, you know, not too in the not too distant past, nobody going to those games.
right now, where they quite possibly are going to win a national championship, that place looks pretty healthy now. You know, you've got, I think the women are probably outdrawing the men, to be honest with you. But, you know, big expectations. And it's a new regime, so you got to let it play itself out a little bit. And but still, though, I think that in a new regime, that the diehard basketball fans would be all, you know, fired up and want to see what's going on here.
But, well, I don't know how much support they're going to need for the next opponent. They got one more game left in non-conference play until they get into the SEC play, and they play Maryland Eastern Shore.
Right. So, where's that? So are you familiar with that school?
Yeah, yeah. It's down by Salisbury. It's down by Cambridge. So Salisbury is like the bigger college on the Eastern Shore, and they're actually a fantastic school for lacrosse, Division III school for lacrosse. But the Shore Hawks, they're not really known for much sports. So I think Texas should handle them emphatically. Like they shouldn't really pose that much of a threat. It should be another outing like you saw against Lemoyne. So,
and I think the other part of that is it's a double-edged sword for them, because let's say that non-con schedule was tougher and you had firmer opponents that were coming to the mood.
Hold on.
Duke to start it out. All right. They just got done playing. They just got done hanging in there with UConn. Okay.
I didn't get to talk to you about that game. Remember when I said, you know, within 15 to me is good?
15, I said within 10, we can call it a success. Got nine. It was a nine point defeat. At least, can I do math? Am I doing the math right? Am I remembering right? I think it was 9 points.
I think you are. Yeah. But kind of what you, let's just say that you were bringing all these big non-con games in and you lose at home. That's where it's like where I'm saying people need to support this. It would be like, you know, we'd already want to run the coach out of town with some people. So, you know,
it's realistic about the situation. Like this isn't a team that is going to be contending for a Sweet 16, right? If for me, based off of what I'm seeing now, and again, expectations are realistic, and I'm not trying to do like I do every year, right? Just get to the tournament. That's it. But let's just get to the tournament. Let's set the baseline there and then build from there from year one, okay? Other than that, like if you start touting out goals that just aren't achievable, like Sweet 16 appearances, come on. That's just not going to happen. One, you don't have the shooters to get there. You don't have the guard to get you there, right? Like Pope's been, I guess what Pope has been doing this season is working, but it's still not enough to get you over the hump and not even contend for an SEC championship, let alone, you know, make a run deep into March Madness. Like you just have to have that type of exceptional guard play. And I'm just being real. We don't have it.
And thank you, Chan. I did it. Where are the Asians? I left them out. So where are the Asians? What did you say? When I was talking about where are the white women at, and then I said men, Hispanics, Blacks. I left out the Asians. You are more than welcome too at the mood. And where are you? Show up. But you know, like we're talking about, be competitive in the SEC. Stay middle to lower part of the top tier of the SEC. You're going to get yourself in the tournament.
What are your realistic expectations for Texas?
I've said, if they're eighth or ninth in the SEC, to me that hits my expectation. Get in the tournament is my expectation, because you know we say 68 teams. Well, hell, how can you not get in the tournament? Well, they've not gotten in the tournament before. It's a little harder than just saying, oh, you know, so many teams get in the tournament.
They're better than Mississippi State. They're better than South Carolina. I can't say they're better than A&M yet. I don't know if I can say they're better than A&M yet. Those right now, they're not better than Ole Miss. They're better than Vandy. They're better than Georgia. But that's about it, man. And that's just based off what I've seen so far, right? And it's gonna be a rough SEC campaign. It's gonna be a tough conference play.
I do think just from the light sampling that we've seen, especially against against the quality opponents, just with the small sample size that we've seen. I think this is a team that's going to be able, as we get deeper into the season, as we get deeper into league play, that they can sneak, they will be able to sneak up on some teams. I do think that that's very possible to where, yeah, they're not going to sweep, you know, the top tier of the SEC, but they may be able to go get a game or a few from some of these heavy hitters.
They're going to have to play. They're going to have to give Vanderbilt's the only one that I think they can get that is playing. Vanderbilt's playing pretty damn good right now. But Vandy, I think, has some spots down low. I think we can win down low with points in the paint down low and contend and bang around and beat Vandy that way. Vandy's got some shooters though. Yeah, that's just it. Like, if we had one more shooter, I would feel a lot better about moving forward with this team. But right now, I'm just, for my expectations, just get to the tournament and let's build from there. Let's bring some shooters in next year and rock.
Yeah, and that really is the thing, that you don't have that second option. I mean, sometimes I'm not sure about the first option or who the first option is.
The first option is clearly Pope, right? He's going to be the guy that's getting his own shot. But honestly, like, Mark's been able to carve and get in. So is Mark. Mark had a great game, too. Let's get into your thoughts on NFL predictions or whatever. What did you want to get into? What were you saying? NFL playoff scenarios?
Playoff scenarios. I mean, we've still got so many playoff scenarios up in the air. And I do want to mention how crazy, I mean, with the way that the Chiefs game ended, where it's like, I mean, when an era ends and then boom, there goes Mahomes.
Is it ended? Is the era done?
I am now going to go ahead and set the casket down.
It's not just a shitty season. Rodney, we're talking about 4 and 5 years. We're talking about 4 and 5 years, and then they have an anomaly of a year where they're just out of it. And we're saying it's done, it's over?
It's going to cool down for – I think it's going to cool down for about 2 years. Here's what I want to see. What is Andy Reid going to do? Now, how much longer does he want to do this? Because is this – I think if Andy Reid stays around – you continue to be, you'll be better next year. And I see folks concerned about Mahomes, you know, coming off this injury. Look, Brady, after Brady got hurt, hell, he won 3 or 4 more Super Bowls, didn't he? So Mahomes is going to be just fine. It's like, do you continue to build this?
I'm not worried about that. If I'm the Chiefs, I'm trying to keep the team together, the band together, right? Like there's rumors that Spags is probably going to break up with Andy and Spags might be. I would love to see Spagnuolo in New York, but there's a, like, when is Spags going to get his team? Like, everybody's been asking that. Like, Spags has fallen on the sword for what, 10 years now being a DC. So I think it feels like he's been there for a long time. He might not have been there that long. It just feels like he and Andy Reid and Barry were there. The three-headed Hydra were dominating the league for years in and out. So
it feels like he's been there long enough to where when you look at those two, he's Andy Reid, Scottie Pippen. I mean, you look at those two guys and you just assume them as a team. But I think that's the biggest thing. Is this the point where Andy Reid says, I want to get away. I want to let somebody else do this and let the organization go. That's legitimately, because I'm in Springfield right now. I'm in Springfield, Missouri. That became the question after that game on Sunday with people that I was talking to at a bar. It's like, what does Andy do? I'm like, Mahomes. I brought up the Mahomes bouncing back thing, and they're like, we don't care about that. It's what does Andy Reid do? How do you take the organization to the next, to bring it back? Or do you break it down and start rebuilding? Travis Kelce, what's he gonna do?
I think Travis Kelce's probably leaving, right? I think he's probably gonna retire. His best football was 3 or 4 years ago. I'll be honest with you, his best football was before he got with Taylor Swift. Once he got with Taylor Swift, it's just coincidental, right? But the decline of his game started happening once they started dating, right? It just didn't look like he was about football anymore.
It's undefeated. It's undefeated.
What's that?
It's undefeated.
It is. Makes the league weak. Makes everything weak. The writing's on the wall for Travis Kelce there, and you're starting to see like the machine start to break down a little bit on offense, right? Like, I don't say it's completely busted. I don't think it's completely going backwards or stagnant, but you're starting to see it sputter a lot more, right? Like when Rashee Rice came back, you started to see the engines fire up a little bit, but Xavier Worthy, it can't be all on the back of Zay Worthy, right? Like he just can't do it. And Hunt and Pacheco toting a rock, that doesn't seem to be getting it done as much either. So something's got to change. I don't think everybody just all of a sudden got into the locker room of the Chiefs and just figured out, you know, how to make their playbook just kind of be neutralized or whatever. I think it's just kind of an anomaly season where the Chiefs aren't firing on all cylinders. I don't know. I say that though. Let me walk that back. I say that though. Remember they struggled mightily last year too. On offense, but somehow
they had good luck last year. Right. The luck ran out. The luck ran out. I mean, the other day, the luck ran out, and it's ironic the way that happened. And like Jake is talking about right here. See, to me, here's the problem Pittsburgh has had for so long that they've been good enough that they haven't been able to go get that quarterback.
Is Pittsburgh still a victim of doing the same hit, right? Like
they're still good enough.
Having injuries where they're just good enough. They're almost in purgatory now, right? Like they're contending for a division title, but they're not going to make anything. I don't think they're going to make a run in the AFC championship or the AFC playoff.
No, the Steelers and the Panthers, if they get in the Super Bowl, I mean, if they get in the playoffs, they're going to be bounced as soon as they take the field the first game.
I almost feel that way about the Chargers.
Yeah, I kind of do too. I really do too with the Chargers. But that's the thing with Cam. That legitimately is the question here. It's like what does Andy Reid do?
I think Tampa Bay, with Evans coming back and them trying to get back, beating the battle of attrition. I think Tampa Bay's actually got a legitimate shot, right? Like we're not seeing their best football because they've been riddled by injuries, right? But Mike Evans coming, they're getting their 1,000-yard wide receiver back that they haven't had all season long, right? Not just that, he's a huge red zone threat as well. So that coupled with Mbuka, I think that's gonna help. And he'll sprinkle a little bit of Godwin in there, right? And then you got the, I guess you could call it a dynamic backfield between White and honestly, it's led by Bucky Irvin. But yeah, the Bucs can make a ruckus, man. They can actually get after it. I don't think the Panthers are there just yet. I like what they're doing with Tet and Bryce, but still, and also like you want to talk about a tandem, right? Like their running back tandem is pretty good right now too with Rico and Chuba. So, which is weird. Like you wouldn't think that Chuba and Rico would be a dynamic tandem, but looks like it's. They're figuring something out down there in the Panther pit.
Carolina has overachieved. I mean, I can sit here and tell you, and again, the division has helped them a lot, but I can sit here and say they're going to get bounced as soon as they take the field. It's a miracle to me we're even having this conversation about the Carolina. I thought this was a 2 to 3 year thing where they were going in the right direction despite their ownership, and they're definitely going in the right direction.
Well, that was the Chiefs. Do we have a scenario? Did you want to talk about the playoffs or whatever? As I sit here and pick my teeth, sorry about that.
No, that's okay. That's okay. But no, that's the biggest thing to me where the Chiefs are no longer. Now the way that's the AFC South, I mean, there are so many that are still in the air. I think the NFC East is kind of
Jacksonville, dude.
I know. And that's the same thing. What do you get with them? I think Jacksonville can make a little noise. I think, but then the Texans.
Sunshine played his best game that he's ever played this past Sunday?
He finally looked like what we thought he was going to be way back then. One game. I know. One game. Exactly. One game. But why is that Texas defense? Houston. Hot dang, man. That's a tough draw. Yeah. And the offense is slowly getting itself back on track, but this is where I'm like, man, Stroud, please stay upright. If you're a Texans fan and something happens there and you're leaning solely on the defense, that's not a good
scenario. Well, here's the thing, and I guess I'm asking this to most Texans fans out there other than just you, right? Like, what can they build off of other than just the Nico connection, right? Like, clearly that rapport is there between Stroud and Nico Collins there. But what else can they get out of that bag? Like, I was expecting at least something be able to happen with Chubb. Like, I wasn't expecting him to be back to the glory days. But, you know, with modern day medicine, usually people can come off of an injury like that and still kind of have somewhat of success. You can clearly see that just the explosion and the quickness that Chubb used to have isn't there, but he still has that strength, right? The burst, like, you might get two or three bursts from Chubb each game, but he's still got that strength where if he's hitting the backfield, he's able to fall forward or give you maybe 2 yards and get back to the line of scrimmage. It's just not enough on the ground and pound is what I'm saying, right? Like, they've got the connection there through the air, but it's just one guy, and it's Tank. If they had Tank, back, and then also, just their offense firing on all cylinders throughout the air, I think it would open up a little bit more on the ground for him.
And if is a big word. If my aunt had the ball, she'd be my uncle. But Joe Mixon, if Joe Mixon was playing, I think that would solidify your running. Those two guys, Tank Dell and Joe Mixon, that would be they'd be damn near unstoppable, I think, at this point. But
they'd be stopped. I'm not the big one, Joe Mixon.
Yeah, well, but I think he would solidify the backfield for them. I don't know if he'd lead the NFL in rushing or anything like that, but good quality running back, I think. And that's what you need back there. But that's going to be interesting to watch. The North, with the Thursday night game that's coming up tomorrow, man, that I think that's going to start setting off a chain of events right here in the last couple of weeks. It's going to make a tremendous run to the playoff.
I know Tank Dell and CJ Stroud are best friends, but this is 2 years in a row now. Tank has gone down, or Tank has had a season, and one's, he came back from the gunshot wound.
But that's the one Tank, I thought would get him.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Tank, he and Ricky, and Ricky, right? Tank has got a long career ahead of him, okay? If you're the Texans, you know what you've got with Nico right now. The line's breaking down just a little bit. Do you shop Tank, get a lineman in return, and maybe some draft capital and start to build that way? We're talking about a team that was, two games removed from the AFC Championship not too long ago, or a game removed from the AFC Championship on a quarterback rookie season, right? And a head coach that was fairly new to the game too, so... I think if you're the Texans, the future's bright. You just got to make the right move, which, hell, man, sometimes it could be a knee-jerk. Sometimes you have to make that knee-jerk reaction to get a lot of franchise players into that organization or in the locker room.
I think you do. It's a painful business decision because it's like...
It absolutely sucks because you know the talent you're going to get. When Nico or Tank has got to go. And it's the same kind of scenario that you're seeing with the Bengals, right? Like, they can't keep Higgins and they can't keep Chase. Somebody's got to go.
It's with Tank Dell. He's amazing when he's on the field. And that's where... you have to take that risk where you're gonna shop him and you're gonna send him somewhere. You're gonna get what you get. He goes off and he's great. You can't control that. It's a risk you have to take. But I do. And it's a viable shopping tool. There would be demand for him, and you do have some areas to where you can build, and you can build this franchise for 5 to 7 years.
Yeah,
maybe with what you're getting in return with the right return
on that. Right. But I think you've got to make the move now before Tank. I think the narrative is going to get out there that Tank might be prone to injury. So I think that's why you do it now before that gets out there on him, or I guess that negative mark gets on his record there. Bears still can't decide between Dowdle and Pittman for the flex. Well, let's break this down, right? Pittman's got Rivers. Okay. So. There's that, right? Like, there's Rivers coming to Indianapolis and not being on the same page and trying to still build the rapport with Pittman. What do we know from Rivers in his heyday, right? He loved his tight ends, loved utilizing the tight end. He's got one hellacious dude to work with right there with Warren. I think maybe that's probably in a quarterback that's still trying to feel out his offense, still trying to get established and connected with his offense. He's probably going to rely on a safety blanket, which is going to be, you know, Warren. I don't know if this is going to happen. This is just my thought process on it, right? He's probably going to roll with Tyler Warren there. And also, like, Rivers didn't have the strongest arm back 5 years ago before he was slinging it all the time, right? He still had that shot put kind of delivery. The same delivery still there, and you know the arm strength isn't exactly down. So how much further is he going down the field? Pittman usually works between the hashes, and Pierce is the guy that hits him for the deep strikes. Even with all that said, I think your best bet is leaning into the bag of Rico this week, right? Like, you know, he's going to get his totes. You know that, and you just don't know how many targets that Pittman's going to get with Phil Rivers being new to the organization or new to the locker room. I would go with Rico Dowdle. That's just my logic breaking it all down for you, Barrett. Great question. Thank you.
In that whole conversation with the Panthers, I mean, that's where, you know, if the Cowboys running game hadn't improved, you know, the way it has, you'd look at that move of Rico Dowdle going to Carolina. And it's like, damn, that's your guy. That's your guy that you could have had. He's been tremendous for them. I mean, so, but yeah, Rivers, there are so many limitations right there. You have to factor that in. And I got to tell you, I wasn't going to talk shit about Philip Rivers regardless. We had a bowling outing on Monday night, Wags. I can barely move this arm.
Was Joe Rivers there talking trash at the bowling alley?
He was over there drinking long neck beers with me, and I can barely move my arm.
Blake Bortles there next to you, ripping heaters?
Blake Bortles. Nice. The great Blake Bortles.
What's up, gents? How are we?
Double R, no Blake Bortles slander, by the way, sir. UCF, yeah. Great Blake Bortles.
Great. I'll take Blake any day, man. Me and Blake sitting next to each other with a pack of smoke, just ripping.
Yeah, am I the only one hearing an echo?
No, you're about to say Rodney's got to go. Once Rodney leaves, the echo will be gone.
Okay,
all right.
And speaking Rodney, of that, guys, I'm gonna head out.
Be safe. Getting back here.
10-hour drive.
It's gonna be bad roads.
Have
be
fun. Safe
back to Austin. There he goes. What's up, guys?
Hey, just another morning
there.
Covering college sports in the month of December. So
Exactly. Yeah. It's been a busy week so far.
Hey, you know what, gents? It's a good job to have. Your thoughts on basketball last night?
What do you take from...
I know. I get it, right? From out-rebounding an opponent by 20-some points, just...
All right, Wags. I'll try
work, to actually, work on bench minutes. You know what I mean. Work on bench minutes. So
I'll try to actually give something substantive, right? Because I mean, listen, the schedule is the schedule, right? So you got to
Maryland Eastern Shore next week, next match. So.
Yeah, you got to try and find something from it. Okay, this is what I took from it. One, I don't care if it's Lemoyne, Maryland Eastern Shore, you know, Austin School of the Deaf and Blind. Okay, whatever. If you can hold an opponent to 28% shooting. That is positive, right? Especially considering Texas had really struggled against D1 opponents. You and I talked about that last week, Wags, right? You know, at one point against the UConn was shooting like 74% in the first half. So
it is UConn, though. We get that. But still,
right. No, of course. Right. But that's a positive that they made Lemoyne look the way they should have made Lemoyne look, right? So that's a plus. I don't know how you feel about the guard play, Wags.
That's what I was just talking about. Like, I like what Pope has been doing so far in the young campaign, but if that's what we're relying on, this isn't going to work, right? It's just not going to happen. And the Swiss Army knife with Mark, that's great too. It's unorthodox as hell. Swain being able to carve in there and you know, find baskets when he can, or just carve out his own baskets. But ultimately, we just don't have a shooter. There's just no shooter.
I'm sorry. There's a comment from.
Oh, no, you're good.
There's a comment from Chris Bennett. Don't throw it up, Jordan. I will read it up. So didn't Lemoyne reject John Bianco? I should have asked John Bianco that. I found out that for those who know who John Bianco is, he's a native of that area. So I'll have to go back and ask him next time I see him. Wags, to your point, like, here's the thing with the guard play, right? There is no free agency. There's no trade deadline in basketball right now, in college sports right now. It'll probably be there in a few years, but it's not there now. So who they have is who they have.
Right.
I continue to say something blue in the face. Play to Jordan Pope's strengths, right? He is an undersized two guard. Don't try and make him a one guard. You got 5 assists from Daylon Swain. You got 4 from a couple of guys. This team has solid passing, you know, kind of side pieces, right? In terms of Matis is a good passing big man. Use those guys, Tremont at the wing. Use those guys to kind of facilitate the offense and don't just go square peg round hole like last year in putting Jordan Pope in that traditional guard role, right? So that's why I think you have to do it.
I get it. He's the only one that can get his own shot.
Yeah,
consistently. I understand that, and you need that as a point guard. But let's start setting stack screens for Mark or Swain or whatever, and then have, you know, basically, you know, Heidi or Pope sitting there waiting to have the release, you know, if you're cutting to the basket and then kick out. It seems like easy, fundamental fucking basketball. Like, I don't know why we're not. That's why I'm frustrated. I don't know why we're not doing it.
You're right, because you didn't see it against UConn, right? Cam Heidi got one shot up, and his whole purpose is to stretch the floor, right, and be that guy kind of camps out in the corner. This is what I want to get your thoughts on before you leave. I'm sold on Matis being a maybe not 16-8 in the SEC, but I'm sold in SEC play, but I'm sold on him being 12-6, and occasionally, depending on the opponent, he can give you 18-19, which is better than what they got last year. What's your thought?
Yeah, there's a lot. I think so, because he's got the width, right? But there's a lot of height in the SEC. I mean, there's a lot of 7-footers in the SEC right there. I think it's doable, though, just because of his size, and his footwork. Like, I think that's where he's got a lot of the other, I'll say, American centers, right?
Because
his footwork is a lot better just because of him playing soccer and shit like that. So,
no doubt. Like, that and, you know, you watching this team as closely as you do, Matis is decisive into his first move, right? It's not ball hits, stick, dribble, dribble. Like,
it's premeditated. Yeah, it's premeditated.
He is decisive into that move. So that's what I think. Right now, we were debating this, you know, myself, Thomas Jones.
And also, too, like, not to cut you off, but, like, when the double team comes over, he can find a way to pass out.
He knows how to pass out, right, as opposed to, you know, no disrespect.
Forcing a shot or forcing a bad, you know, making a turnover happen or getting trapped in the death spot. So,
yeah. I was saying, me and Thomas Jones, you know, the two guys who primarily cover the team day in and day out, we're debating Wags, and this is kind of where we land. I think both of us have this between 8-10 and 9-9 or 10-8 in league play. Okay. And I think
that's okay. That's okay. That's acceptable.
I think 8-10 gets you in. I know the SEC technically isn't as strong as it was last year, which was like the greatest league of all time, to where 6-12 got Texas in.
Right.
But I think 8-10. Hopefully not to Dayton.
8 wins. That's probably the ceiling. I would say 10 wins for sure. Of course. Right. 10, let's just get 10 wins to be safe. But I think you're good. Like, 8 wins with this conference, with the stalwarts in this conference.
Yeah.
I think 8 wins is the ticket puncher. That's probably the gatekeeper.
Yeah. For my sake, I just hope it's 9 or 10, because I don't want to go to Dayton again. No disrespect to Dayton. It's Wags. Have you been to
Dayton? No, Dayton, Ohio.
If you're a college basketball, sincerely, if you're a college basketball, like, junkie, like a passionate, you know, you don't like the old school college basketball fan, the first 4 is for you. Like, truly, it's a city where, like, all they have is basketball. Dayton football is, like, I think it's FCS, so it's not a big thing. It is traditional old school college basketball, but it's something you only want to do once.
Right. Just a grinder.
It's a grinder. And from, like, this perspective, Wags, what sucks is the next day you have to be on the flight to the next venue, fuck that. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So I would much rather be
a lot of up tempo, just never resting. Gotcha.
Yeah, I'd much rather be at a first round site, because you got to pack Wags. If you go to Dayton, you got to pack for 7 days.
Oh, yeah, because you're not coming. I mean, you're leaving from Dayton.
You go to Dayton, you're leaving from Dayton to the first round site, and then possibly there for 5-6 days. So hopefully 9-10 wins gets them in. So.
Well, hey, man, reach out to your dude. I'll be your traveling companion.
I got you, man.
All right, brother. Hey, you guys have a great show, man. I'll be listening.
Appreciate it.
Sir, we'll see you.